Previously on Corporate Homing.
I'm learning childhood lessons.
Children are to be seen and not heard.
Not this or that. It can be this and that. The only treat a man gets is the big piece of chicken.
Sleep is for suckers.
On today's episode of Corporate Homing.
We are so excited to have two of our favorite bosses ever on the planet.
I've been in banking for 31 years. I think this is what I'm going to be when I grow up.
This is not your best work, Demetra. Yeah. This is not going to cut it.
I didn't know that I was like being like this crazy person.
Oh. Well, that was a long time ago. I mean, that wasn't yesterday.
What's up, homies?
Hello, homies. Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo woo.
I've been shamed.
I've
been shamed into non-whooping. So it's all in my spirit. It's in my spirit to whoop, but I'm not going to. So I was just at a conference, and one of the things we realized is that a lot of the homies are not actually signed up for our email list or following us on social. So we really encourage you to go to the website, which is corporatehomie.com. Homie is HOMIE. Sign up for our mailing list. We're sending out a quarterly newsletter now, and you can also find us on all places social. That's at Corporate Homie, and that's on all of your social media platforms.
We are so excited. We are, as I like to say, Red Bull excited to have two of our favorite bosses ever on the planet. They're so instrumental to the great success that both Demetra and I've had. So we've got Mr. Bobby Blakely, regional president for West Virginia, or I guess state president for West Virginia for BB&T Bank. And then we've got Barry Spears, and Demetra's gonna tell you a little bit about him. But we're gonna be talking all about on this week's episode, mentorship, sponsorship, and the value of having somebody who's in the room when you're not in the room, pulling for you and advocating for you and making good things happen for all the good work that you do in your career. So do you have anything you want to add before we let the guys introduce themselves?
No, I was just going to say it's very excited to have both Barry and Bobby on the show. And although I've never met Bobby, I feel like I've always known him because I've heard all these great Bobby stories and I see him commenting on your Facebook posts. And so I'm like, hey, Bobby. Yeah, like me and Bobby, we're already homies.
Swear. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm like, hi, Bobby.
I've probably liked a picture of yours or one of your posts before too.
Yeah. So I'm with it. I'm all for it. So welcome to you both to the show.
So if Barry, if you'll kick us off, if you'll just spend a couple of minutes sharing a little bit about your background, professional background for the homies.
Sure. I grew up in West Texas, in Midland, Texas, and went to a small private liberal arts school for college, Austin College in Sherman, Texas, and then went to the University of Texas School of Law, graduated in 1982, and started practicing law immediately after I passed the bar. And I started back in 1982. Probably your homies weren't, not very many of them were alive at that time, but I was.
We were all seven, Barry.
you were seven. Okay. Well, that makes me feel good.
That's right.
It was a hotbed of oil and gas work, and I thought that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And after interviewing in Houston and Dallas, I ended up going back to Midland, where I spent all of 1 year, and then transferred to our Austin office, where I've been living ever since. I started with a relatively small firm, and then went to a little larger firm, and then went to a very large firm, I say 250 lawyers. And then I was there for 20 years, and then went to work for Fulbright and Jaworski, which was 1,000 lawyers. And I kind of did it backwards. You know, most people go with the big firm first and then go back down to the little firm. And then I was there for 10 years and then moved to Locke Lord again in Austin, where I practiced for 5 years and retired about a year ago.
Good deal. So Midland, that's where George Bush is from. What's he like? No, just joking.
He went to his church together.
He's actually a really good guy. A lot different than you would know from what you see in the political arena. But I was actually closer to Laura. There are two baby girls who were born out there, Jenna and Barbara, both of whom have gone on to do great things. But the Bushes were great people.
Good deal.
So, Barry, are you fresh off a Texas OU weekend?
I am fresh off the Texas OU weekend, and I am
sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Dad, my horns were beaten.
Yeah, so it was not a good weekend for Texas football.
It was not a good weekend. OU is the better team.
Yeah.
Pains me to say.
Really?
You heard it here, folks, ladies. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here, folks.
Bobby.
Hey, Demetra and Demetra, I appreciate you inviting me to be on tonight. I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I have been in banking for 31 years. I think this is what I'm going to be when I grow up. this is what it's turning out to be. But I became a banker in 1988, fresh out of college, started with one of BB&T's predecessor banks, Southern National Bank, and have done a little bit of everything throughout the bank. Started in the management training program, and then I've moved around like a military brat. I've been all over North Carolina, moved to Georgia when the bank needed me in Georgia, met Demetra when she came out of the management training program, and then about 8 years ago was asked to move to West Virginia, and I've been here for about 8 years now, and every opportunity I've had has just brought new challenges and been good for me. So I've enjoyed it.
And where'd you go to college, Bobby?
Oh, I'm a Tar Heel. So yeah.
So Bobby speaks basketball, not football.
Exactly. And I'm not liking your Wake Forest shirt there. So that's not even funny.
That's for Bobby tonight.
That's right. Oh, too funny. Okay, so we, again, really appreciate you both coming on. Just to give the listeners a little bit of background so the homies understand, I just want to let them know. I worked for Barry as a first-year lawyer. So as soon as I finished my clerkship and started at the law firm, he was one of the partners in the group when I joined, and then I ended up working very closely with him. And it sounds like, Demetra, you worked with Bobby in your first job out of B school. And so for both of us.
Yeah, straight out of the program, and, you know, was fortunate to be in Bobby's region. And, you know, he really helped me, you know, really out of the gate understand, you know, the nobleness being a banker and not just the job of it. And, you know, just, you know, the consummate professional, right? So there was
to
learn that were intangibles from Bobby as our leader.
So that's what I really want to talk about. So both of you, and I'll start with you, Barry, or we'll start with you, Bobby, since we started with Barry first last time. Both of you are running teams. You have a number of people who work on your team. You have a number of people who come out of, you know, law school or the management training program or B school. So you have a number of people that are working. How did you identify, you know, us, Demetra and Demetra, as someone that you wanted to pour your energy in? Or do you pour your energy into a lot of people and then see who it sticks with and then move forward?
I would say you pour your energy into everybody on your team and you see who responds. Our former CEO, John Allison, was in the region one day, and we were talking about massive turnover. And it seemed in Atlanta that if an employee stayed for a year or two, you were doing pretty good. not to have anyone stay for 10 or 15 years or much less an entire career. And someone spoke up in the meeting and said, you know, what's your advice to a region like Atlanta that's having constant turnover? And he said, I would say hire trainees, hire management trainees, people who, you know, have the educational background and have the desire to learn and grow in the organization and spend your time there. Well, one of my mentors, my boss, put a whole lot of time and attention into the management trainees, the leadership development program candidates, because he said, we've invested in them. We've poured a lot of time into their training, their classroom training, once they graduate from college and started with our organization. And we can't afford to lose them. You can't put $50,000 or $60,000 of investment into someone and then risk them feeling unvalued less than a bright future and go to another organization. Then you've given them a gift. So we put a huge emphasis on our trainees, and that emphasis continues today. It's little things. It's taking them out on events and outings, like going to the Braves and watching the game in the skybox and making them feel special. It's hosting a holiday get together that only they get invited to with your leadership team. So it's a short term investment. It's not a very large investment from a financial standpoint, but it does pay dividends. And that's how I met Bimitra. I mean, she was new to my region. I'd heard the superstar with prior work experience, not just book smarts, but prior work experience, had gone back to get her MBA at Wake Forest, and I knew then I needed to get to know her and go on calls with her, and the best way to get to know someone is to go on a business development call with them, and that was the beginning of our relationship and how we got started.
So I have to tell this story. So I was so excited. I don't know that I don't have a large prospect because I'm such a baby banker. And I think I have this huge prospect, which it was about a $8 million revenue company looking back on it. But, so I called Bobby's office, and my manager at the time was out on vacation, and I wanted to take a leader with me on the call. So I called Gloria, his assistant, and said, I want to take Bobby on this call. And she kind of chuckled like, he has no available.
Girl, please.
What are you talking about? It's Monday. And then me, not to be deterred, I was like, no worries. I'm going to send you who the company is. And I created this little call plan with an agenda. And I said, in the event that his schedule opens up, here are the financials. And then that way, if he has time, he can come with me. And she was kind of like, whatever.
Okay. Right.
That's so adorable, right?
Right.
But his schedule ended up opening up, and she called me and said, hey, he's had an opening in his schedule, and he's gonna come on this meeting with you, on this call with you. And I was like, outstanding. So I tell him I don't remember if I called you, but I like wrote him out of my game plan for my call. Like,
oh, yeah.
What we're going to do, right? Here's the agenda.
Here's what I need you to do, Mr. President.
This is what I want you to do. I didn't know that I was like being like this crazy person, right?
And
Bobby was like, this is awesome.
She was the ultimate movie director. She had everybody's part, and we all knew what we were supposed to do. You can't all be leading actors. You can't be all extras. You've got a part to play, and if you're not careful and if you're not prepared, you're going to step on each other's toes.
Right. That's the point guard in Bimitra. She always draws up the play and always tells you, like, you're three. We need you on the block. This is what you're doing. Stop bringing the ball up the court.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think Bimitra, I mean, it may have been cosmic that my calendar opened up, or it may have been that I recognized you took the initiative. When you were very early in your career, you took the initiative to say, wait a minute, my client and my prospect are important to my future and the bank's future, and I want you to participate. So I welcome someone who takes the initiative versus me as a manager always having to take the lead.
So he ends up rolling this agenda out to the whole region.
Oh yeah.
Told me tonight that he still uses it in West Virginia.
Oh yeah, the whole bank.
Really?
Uses it today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes,
that
the whole bank.
That is so awesome. That Bimitra, she's a leader.
It's the one I shared with you, Dee.
Oh yeah, and I've used it. Yeah. Okay, so Barry, please tell a great story like that.
Well, the pressure's on. Pressure. Well,
exactly. Mary, we should have gone first. We should have gone first.
Next time you will know, Demetra. Okay, so, you know, back in the day, mentors were really new to the law firm. It was this new concept. I mean, you know, when you think about it now, you think how simple and how ridiculous an effort that management can make to help advance the skills of a young lawyer, a young banker, or what have you. And but we started this program, and I was all very excited about it. And Demetra was my first victim. and actually, well, that's probably not exactly true, but it's pretty true. But she had come in from Birmingham. She had been clerking for a federal judge there. And she didn't really know anybody in Houston. And yet I could tell she was smart. She was driven. She was hardworking. And she was up to the task. And so when given the opportunity of picking who we wanted, I said, I want Demetra. And so, and you know, it was kind of crazy because, you know, you guys, the homies probably don't know, but we don't look a lot alike. And so people were kind of, even within the firm, they were like, well, Barry, you know, maybe somebody, you know, else. I said, nope, this is who I want to work with. And it was a terrific choice. And she was all of those things. She was hardworking. She was diligent. She was smart. She was, you know, she got it when she needed to. And more importantly, she had incredible people skills. And that was something that I didn't really realize at the time. But as time grew on, I realized how very important that was.
So it's funny you say that, Barry, because, you know, Demetra told a superstar story. I'm going to tell a story where I made a really, you know, poor choice early in my career. I don't know if you remember this, but we were working on a cash collateral order for a filing, and the firm had asked me to go to UT to recruit. I was so young that I was like, they bought me a plane ticket. They're flying me to Austin to recruit. And so I came in and I was basically like, hey, I'm going to have to go early today because I have to go off to Austin, you know, because the firm bought me the plane ticket and spent this money. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, we're in the middle of a deal. And I was like, I know, but I have to go recruit. And you know, I remember you were gentle but firm and was like, no one's going to Austin today. Like, we're finished in a cash collateral order. But I wasn't just grateful that you explained to me the mistake that I made, but it's certainly now that I've worked in a big firm for nearly 20 years, I understand that the mistakes and not having room to make a mistake and not having someone come back and still work with you after you've made a mistake is even more important. And one of the things I have figured out in my career is that, you know, women and minorities don't always get the space to have errors. They don't get a benefit of the doubt. They don't get that grace. And so it was something very early on, Barry, that I appreciated. One, that you told me the truth, like it wasn't something I heard, you know, you didn't let me go and then tell everybody else I made the mistake. You were telling me, like, and that's when you said to me that night, I don't know if you remember, after we finished the deal, you said to me, like, you have incredible people skills and you have, and you know, a really gregarious personality, and people are going to pull on you a lot to be the face of the firm, especially because you are a diverse woman, but I'm going to teach you to practice bankruptcy. And that, I remember it that night, that ended up being very true. You know, Barry ended up being a person I could go to and say, hey, I haven't written a disclosure statement, or I've yet to, you know, do a contested hearing by myself or take a witness by myself. And then he, because he was running the group, would help me find opportunities and cases. And so
I think it's such a good example for the homies to remember that sometimes your biggest advocates are going to be people who can give you constructive feedback and give you constructive criticism.
I think that's a really good point because, you know, one of the things we talk about is the difference between, you know, getting promotions and getting advancement. And that's something that Bobby was always helpful with me with. You know, he would even to allow me to go to North Atlanta. You know, I know he didn't want to lose me at that time. But, you know, he's like, hey, you're going to have an opportunity to lead, you know, get some leadership experience, work on more complex credits. And so, you know, Bobby, you mentioned, you know, taking initiative. Barry, you mentioned being smart and driven. Are there any other attributes that you, the two of you, look for in, you know, somebody that, you know, not just everybody that's on your team, but somebody you're going to actually kind of
invest in.
Invest in and really, as we say at BB&T, hook your wagon, you know, to this person. Like, what other attributes are you looking for?
Well, we have two, and that's for our formal, really high performance mentoring program that we have. And then I'd say there's informal mentoring and partnerships and sponsorships that you have. But when we choose people, the first thing we look for is performance. Are you performing at a high level? Not do you hope to one day perform at a high level, but are you performing at a high level? And Bemetra, from the time you came out of the program, you wanted to perform at a high level and you were performing at a high level. You did everything it took. You applied the training and things from the leadership development program to prepare you in the real world. But then you had to go and do the behaviors. You had to make the prescribed number of calls. It had to come from a place of belief. And then it turned into results. So the very first thing we look for is that you are a high performer. Average performers are fine. Medium performers are fine. But the seat that a high performer, that a low performer takes up could be a high performer.
That's
so don't
real.
Waste that seat. Right. The other thing that we look for is really a person with high potential. And by high potential, I mean someone who's ambitious. They aspire to do more. They're not content to be, and there's nothing wrong with someone being content to do their job and not want to be a leader one day or not want to manage the whole company one day. But we look for folks to invest in mentoring or sponsorship in as folks who do have that potential to do more than, and they may not be ready for it right now. You start mentoring and they may be ready in 12 months. They may be ready in 24 months, but you know that they aspire to do more and they are ambitious.
I like that. That's great,
Bobby. I think I really like that too. And the other thing that I would add, you know, you don't graduate from law school or probably MBA school with very many usable skills. I mean, you're not ready. You know, you're not really ready to practice law when you walk across that stage and get your diploma and then get your get licensed by whatever state was silly enough to give you a law license to practice. But the problem is it takes a while. So I look for eager people who care about what they're doing and who are dedicated to doing a good job and doing a thorough job. The time, you know, there's a saying that the law is a jealous mistress, and it's very true. It's very time intensive. But if you put in the time, put in the effort, and focus your energy, a very, very good lawyer. And that's what I saw in Demetra. She was from Alabama. She didn't even know Texas law. She had sat for the Texas bar and passed. And I knew she was smart, but it was that intangible part of energy and drive and a willingness to, you know, get it right the first time. I remember a time, Demetra, and I thought this was a story you were going to tell a bit ago. I had given you some kind of project, and
I remember it was, this.
we were working on you know, it was, everybody was working night and day, it seemed like, And I kept checking in with you, Demetra, where is that? Where's
that
project?
Small project on this. Yeah, it was a side thing on fraudulent transfers. I remember that. I remember it like
a And I said, where, Demetra, oh, yeah, it's coming along. It's coming along. Okay. And, you know, one of my real efforts personally is to try not to be, when I give somebody an assignment, I try not to, you know, get in their business about it all the time. But I kept asking, and I kept getting these kind of non-committal answers. And then finally, I said, Demetra, I got to have this. We got to file this. And sure enough, you said, okay, I'll have it to you by noon tomorrow, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And I came in the next morning, wasn't there. I thought, well, okay, it's not noon. Sure enough, I went to the bathroom or lunch.
I waited you to go to the bathroom, and then I put it on your desk because I knew it was so bad. We sat next door, and I was like, yes, because I remember that. Yes, that you. As soon as I saw you walk out, I was like, yeah.
And then you left, and so later that afternoon, you kind of came in sheepishly, and I said, Demetra, you said, have you had a chance to look at it? I said, yes. And you said, what do you think?
I could not remember the assignment, really, is what happened. We were so busy.
Right. Mm-hmm. You. And
I wrote you a treatise that was very good and accurate, but had no facts in it. It just was like the law.
It was regurgitation of an encyclopedia. And I said, you know, this is not your best work, Demetra. Yeah. This is not going to cut it. And I know you're better than this. And so that brings me to this point, which is, I think one of the strongest characteristics that a sponsor or a mentor can be for a young person who is entering the workplace or entering a particular corporate environment is to be able to tell them candidly that their work isn't up to snuff and not stop there. You have to then work and show them how to do it right, how to fix it, what they did wrong. Maybe, you know, take notes the next time I give you an assignment.
I remember that. What I remember is that, like, I came back to it. Like, I had all these notes and I came back to it like 2 weeks later and I couldn't remember how the notes really fit in with the facts. And then you said to me, I expected it to be like this because every time I've ever given you an assignment and I ask you how it's going, you can't stop talking about what you found. Like, oh, I think this and I'm going here. And this time I was like, yeah, I'm working on it. And so I do remember that. And I do remember actually, literally, I can see where we were sitting in the building and wait, like you walked by my office. And I remember thinking, now is the time to leave this.
So, you know what's up? I think, you know, both Bobby and Barry hit on this, which is everything has to start with doing good quality work, right?
Yep.
And, you know, right. I think it's fantastic for the homies to hear, you know, you can be ambitious and you can be gregarious, but you've got to learn to be a technician in what it is that you do. And I think, you know,
absolutely.
I say this is almost 20 years in the game now. That's one of my frustrations as a leader is that people, I joke, they want to do the fun part of banking, right? Mm-hmm. They want to take people to games and steakhouses. It's like at some point you got to sit down and run a loan, you know, underwrite a loan, negotiate that loan with credit, negotiate that loan with the client before you tell me that you're ready to lead a team in wealth management, right? It's like you haven't learned to be a business banker. And I see Bobby nodding his head and I'm sure you guys as well. You guys want to kind of talk, because I think, you know, we do have a lot of younger in their career listeners, you know, so just, you know, kind of, you know, advice for them of, you know, it's not just about the ambition, if for lack of a better phrase. Yeah,
absolutely. But ambition without the performance is just a dreamer. I mean, it's just someone who has great, great big dreams. You got to back up your ambition with with your commitment, your hard work. And Demetra, I saw that in you the years that we worked together, both in South Atlanta and in North Atlanta. You were absolutely committed to doing what it takes to get the job done. If it meant rolling up your sleeves, you meant rolling up your sleeves. If it meant making hard, hard personnel calls, I mean, I gave you a hand of cards one time that was not easy. And you walked in, and 90 days later, we were there.
And all of those people still hate me today.
That's all right. You're not in it for the popularity.
That's right.
But
winning is isolating.
but truly, I mean, the high performance part of the equation to me has to come from a place of hard work. And there's absolutely no substitution for it. There's no shortcut to doing it. And like I always say, and it's very cliche, but it's so true, the harder you work, the luckier you're going to get.
Right.
And luck is where opportunity and preparedness collide. When you're prepared and an opportunity comes along, you're going to be a lucky person. And as long as you work hard, you're going to get those breaks. So again, there's no substitution for hard work.
I'd also say, Demetra mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you know, also I think good leaders give people space to be vulnerable. And I think about when I had my first leadership opportunity over at DeKalb County, and we were, because what Bobby's alluding to is I took over a team and everybody was on a performance improvement plan. So we worked all of them out of the bank, which was the right thing to do, but we couldn't hire enough people quick enough to get the team. So we had basically about a $200 million portfolio, and I had one RM on my team. We straight out of University of Georgia. I know Gail listens. Hey, Gail. And I will never forget, like, I was staying up till like 3:30 in the morning working on loan reviews. I hadn't been to church in like a month. And then I just called Bobby and said, like, hey, I need some help. Like, I'm burning the candle at both ends. And I was a little scared to do that because I had just gotten promoted and I didn't want to look like I couldn't handle it, but it was too much work for basically one person. And he literally, within a week, that's when I got Darnell. Like, he's like, oh,
okay,
this is what we're going to do. Thank you for saying something. And that gave me more confidence to be vulnerable. So I think good leaders space for vulnerability.
And I think that's a good point, because one of the things I remember is when, and talking about doing good work and being ahead, when Granddaddy died, and he died right after like Hurricane Katrina. So there was all this like people sitting around kind of not working. And then like a group went to lunch, and then I found out at lunch that he had passed. But because I was ahead on my work, I remember we had this FIAP due on a case, but it wasn't due for like 3 weeks, but I had the draft going. And so when I went to Barry to say, hey, I'm going to be out, I already had the draft ready. And I remember him being so surprised because he was like, it's not due. And I was like, yes. But one of the things I had learned is to what you guys are saying is to like not wait to do things, especially having made that mistake earlier. So to stay on top of everything. So I had everything, could give it to him. And then because I had my work sort of done and could give him the draft, then he was able to say to me, like, take as much time as you need, get, you know, go home, be with your family. Because it wasn't like, be with your family, but can you get me the draft of that thing that's due, you know, in 2 weeks? Barry, I don't know if you even remember that, but.
I remember it, but I'm not that big of an ogre. I mean, you know.
Well, that was a long time ago. I mean, that wasn't yesterday.
But I will say I was very impressed by the fact that, you know, the project wasn't due for 3 weeks out and you already had a working draft. That was in good, you know, good working order. And it goes again to the issue of initiative and drive and energy and planning and, you know, being thorough. And, you know, as Demetra said earlier, it's so important. And I think probably a lot of the homies are young people who, you know, who have a lot of opportunity in front of them. Don't get blinded by the glitz and the glamour. Become the technician, and then you can go and do all of the glitzy and glamour stuff and, you know, pick up your Emmy or your Grammy or your Oscar.
Right. So one thing I do want to talk about,
hard work.
Right.
I want to talk about one thing you did touch on, Barry, which was,
you know, deciding to mentor someone, you know, people always say that people mentor people who remind them of themselves. And so certainly I was not a young Barry by any stretch of the imagination, you know, and so I do want to talk, you know, you sort of alluded to that earlier, but I want you to sort of go ahead and talk a little bit about that, you know, with us have being from such different demographics, you know, basically and backgrounds, and taking a chance on, you know, using your political capital and investing your time and resources in me when really no one at the law firm looked like me, and certainly no one at the law firm had ever been, you know, promoted to partner or anything like that. So there really wasn't a track record to think that someone like me, so to speak, could do the job, could get there.
Yeah, well, it was you took a chance too, I think, you know, by saddling your wagon to this West Texas star, but you know, a tall drink of West Texas, and you know, it was interesting because I learned as much or more from you, frankly, than you probably did from me. Both in terms of, you know, I didn't have any familiarity with Alabama or Birmingham or how you grew up with a twin sister, or, you know, just like you had no familiarity with me, although we found familiarity and commonality in things when we started talking, like sports and basketball and women's basketball in particular. And, you know, even though you rooted for the wrong Pat all those many years,
go UT. That's Tennessee.
Yeah, the real UT.
You know, but we found those common links, those pieces of humanity, and frankly became, you know, dear friends. And so, you know, it just goes to show you that people say this all the time, and it's probably oversaid in many respects, although in this environment, maybe not said enough. We focus too often, I think, on our differences and not on our similarities and our common humanity. And
yeah,
so,
I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right. And that's certainly something I think that was true. And I still remember when I really understood that you had, you know, my career's best interest at heart. It's when I bought my house, and sort of like Bobby was saying, like having like a personal moment, and I had just bought my first house and I was very excited. And you said to me like, oh, I heard you bought a house. And I said, yeah. And you said, well, I'd love to come by and see it. And I said, oh, sure. Like a good Southerner. Yeah. You know, anytime you want to come by.
It's never happening.
Right. Cause I thought like, yes, of course. Come by anytime. And Barry worked in Austin and I was in Houston and he was in town. He says, well, what about tonight? And I remember being like, oh, you for real? Like, oh, and so I was having that in my mind, but of course I was like, okay. And so I like wrote, you know, my address down, and he came over and, you know, was very proud of me for having bought my first house. And you know, and we were talking about the firm and my career. And that's, I remember that night and just remember thinking like, oh, Barry is really like my friend and my advocate. And so of course, by the time you left the firm and I left the firm, you know, we've continued, I think, move from a sponsorship, but into our mentorship relationship. And I'm sure, Bemetra, you guys have too, or Bobby.
Yeah. So Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'll just jump in and say, I mean, that just demonstrates the perfect relationship. And it's built on care. If he didn't care about you as an individual, not just are you going to produce more for the law firm, but are you, I mean, who are you as a person and what's going on in your life? So I think to commit to being the mentor in the relationship, you need to care about the person and get to know them. And invest your time to getting to know them, and vice versa. Share your life. Bemetra knows as much about my personal life as I do about hers. And it's from a place of genuineness. And
bad golf.
And bad golf, really bad golf.
Right.
Really bad golf.
That's funny.
And yeah, she won't invite me again. But to me, that's what it's all about. I mean, if you don't care about the person you're mentoring, the relationship is not going to be that productive.
Barry said that was really special, because I didn't even think about it till he said it, but it requires the mentee as well to be trusting, right? And to open themselves up to this idea of, you know, okay, I might be a young Black woman and this is an older white man, but I can still trust that he means me well and that he does, as you said, care for me. And so kind of combining what both of you guys are saying, the sort of the mentee having to be trusting, and then when the person shows you care, to trust that that is care.
Yeah, I know, you know, like you were saying, Demetra, you know, when Bobby promoted me to city execs, we call them market presidents now, over the cab. At the time, I was the only Black female market president at the whole bank. I didn't realize that because we went to the market president meeting. Ricky Brown was like, Demetra. And I was like, he knows me.
He knows me.
And then I got to meet, I was like, silly me. but all jokes aside, like, you know, I was, you know, really honored that Bobby took a chance on me, but it really wasn't until Bobby got reassigned to West Virginia. And he's probably gonna turn red and be embarrassed, but the day that got announced, I remember like my heart sunk, and all of a sudden, it was very clear to me how spoiled I had been to do something I love for someone that I like at an organization I believed in. And I didn't know anything about this new person that was coming in, but I just knew in my heart of hearts that we were not going to have the same type of relationship that Bobby and I had. And I remember, you know, just being like totally down. And it wasn't just me, everybody in the room. Like, Bobby has this way of a leader of connect. He's like the grandparent that everybody's like, I'm the favorite grandchild. That's how Bobby is as a leader. And I remember Tom Smith, like Maria started crying. Like it was like somebody had died. And Tom Smith sent me a text while they were making the announcement, because I was getting like sad. And he said, if you start crying, we're going to all cry. Like, get yourself together. And like, we were sad for ourselves. We were sad. We were happy that Bobby was going to go get to do good work in West Virginia. But that's when I really realized, like, we've been spoiled to, you know, do something we like for someone that we
That's like. Funny. I remember that when Barry left the farm and he called me first before they announced it. And he, you know, it's like, he sent me a text, I think, or said, and I need to talk to you. And you know, that wasn't unusual. Like, you know, can you jump on the phone? And so it was like the first of the year or something like that. I think it was like right before February, because I remember when he said it, I started laughing and I was like, is this an April Fool's? Like, is this some kind of like joke? Like, ha ha ha. And he was like, no. And I wanted you to hear it from me. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't say, right. I didn't say, and that's what I felt like, oh my gosh, like he's leaving, we're breaking up. And what am I going to do? And so I remember I hung the phone up, and, you know, of course he had already told the partners. And so the partner who was still going to be at the farm came in and he's like, you know, did you talk to Barry? And I was like, yes. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm here. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Barry, I don't even know if I ever told you that, but I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I do want to say this, like, he left the farm, and that was, Barry, how long ago did you leave Winstead? That was in what year?
That was in 2006.
Okay.
2006. So that was, you know, a long time ago. And I still feel like we have as close of a relationship now as we did when we worked together.
Oh, I totally bug Bobby.
He's still the person. Yeah, bug Barry for everything.
Let me run something by you.
Let me run something by you. If I have a hearing in Austin, especially if I have, like, when I first made partner and I was, you know, supervising people, I remember I stayed late to take Barry to lunch and to be like, how do you know when you have the superstar associate, you know? And just, he's just been a part of every step of the way from, you know, me making partner to making equity. I don't think I've had a career move that Barry was not, that I didn't discuss with him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, every major move I have that gets discussed with Demetra, our parents, And Bobby. So you guys have been awesome. Is there anything? So we do have a fun question to ask you guys at the end, but is there anything that you guys did not get out to the homies this evening that you want to make sure that they know?
Mitra, just a piece of it. One thing I've learned from a person that I look up to that was a mentor for me, not a formal mentor. I don't think he knows he's my mentor, but if I had to put it down on a piece of paper, it would be Chris Henson. And you know, Chris is like the Dalai Lama. I mean, just the most steady guy and the most incredible person. He works the hardest of anybody I've ever worked with. And is just the most just genuine person. What I learned working under him was do the right thing and everything else will turn out just fine. It may not turn out this week, this month, but it will turn out in the end just fine if you always do the right thing. If you do the right thing for the client, it will turn out okay. If you do the right thing by your associate, by your employee, then it will turn out for you as the employer. And to me, don't get caught up in, oh, I don't want to do this refund. I don't want to write off this, you know, charge off or whatever. But if you do the right thing, everything else will take care of itself.
That's fantastic.
And I learned that from Chris, and I try to apply that to my days right now.
Barry, what about you?
Parting words.
I can't think of anything that we haven't talked about. But Bobby, I think you're absolutely right. And it's so important that, you know, people sometimes forget the ethics of the situation. And it's really important to just sit back and take a minute and think about what you're doing and try to do the right thing, because it will, it does mean a lot in the end.
That's awesome. Well, here's my final question for each of you. Prince or Michael Jackson?
Prince.
Yes, Barry, yes.
I like them both for you know, different moods. So I'm split right down the
middle.
Fair. I bought the 1999 album when it was, you know, 1998.
Oh, that awesome. Is so great. Well, thank you both for being our guests and taking some time out and talking with the homies and sharing with us. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you both for inviting me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
As always, we thank you guys so much for listening. And if you are enjoying the show, as we found out, the currency of podcasts are reviews. So please drop us a 5-star review and let us know your thoughts. If you want to have us come out and speak, you know, you can reach us at info@corporatehomie.com. You can also connect with us on all of the social media platforms. And that's Corporate Homie, HOMIE. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
Get you a twin. Get you another homie.